I hear there's rumors on the internets.
Greetings from Bratislava and Berlin. My name is David.
And I am Mark, and you're listening to the Check Your Facts podcast, a podcast about digital journalism done by us, two digital journalists, with guests mostly from digital journalism. But I can tell you now that today we're just us two, and we will shortly tell you why. But David, it's been a while. How have you done?
It's been busy. It's been overwhelming, and it's been like crazy.
Yeah. I mean, we could directly deep into what we want to talk about and why we are alone. And as you, dear listeners, probably got to know and heard, there was a murder of two young people going on in Slovakia. A young journalist and his soon-to-be wife were killed in their home. And probably because they are journalists, or he is a journalist, and probably because of his work. But yeah, David knows more about this because it happened in Slovakia. He was a Slovak, and I bet the country is like upside down, especially the media scene.
Yeah, it's just like you said. So two young people were killed. Jan Kuciak, an investigative journalist, and Martina Kušnírová, his fiancée, who's an archaeologist, actually. They were both shot dead, and probable cause of death is because of Jan's work. And I'm sure you know about this because Jan was working for Aktuality.sk, which is an online website, Slovak, owned by Axel Springer Ringier. And there has been also like some ramifications, or not maybe ramifications, not the best word, but like also this has like not only been a huge news in Slovakia, obviously, but also in Europe and worldwide.
For those who don't know what happened so far, can you just tell them what he was working on and why this could have brought people to killing him and his wife?
So yeah, Jan was working on like many different stories like before his death. He just sent a draft of a long article describing how Italian mafia named 'Ndrangheta is tied to the Prime Minister Robert Fico, who has, by the time we are like recording this, already been in like he stepped down. Also, the Minister of Interior has stepped down. We're still waiting for the police chief to step down, but he's seemingly happy with the place he's holding at the moment. So we know all of this, what Jan was talking and like working about on, because he already sent the draft to his editor-in-chief. And he was also working on it with like several other investigative journalists. Like, there are not many investigative journalists in Slovakia, and they tend to, you know, exchange like stories. So for example, when you're working on something and your editor says it's not like a good story for the paper or for that particular news media, you being a good investigative journalist, you pitch the story to a colleague who can work on it. So this is how Jan actually got to work on this story. And we know all the details about this story because it was published after his death. So like very soon, within a few days, all the Slovak media agreed that they will finish his story and publish it. So the story was almost finished. It wasn't like super finished. There are like still many questions to be answered, but like the first part of the story was published, and it was published like at the same time, but by every news outlet in Slovakia, also by some news outlets in Czech Republic, and I guess you also published it in Germany, right?
Yes, because Jan was working for Ringier, Axel Springer, everyone decided to like publish his articles. So all the leading media by our company, by Axel Springer, published the work Bildwelt, Blick in Switzerland, Le Temps, Business Insider, Newsweek, and yeah, several in Slovakia. So we definitely put the link in, I'd say, every language it is available in the description. So you go and read it. Please read it, because it's so important that, like, his work, and he will won't be forget. And it shows how important investigative journalism is. So right now, how's the feeling throughout the Slovak media scene? I mean, you said there are colleagues working with him together. Are they afraid of working on the stories? How is everything going now?
So this was actually the first instance of a journalist killing in Slovakia that we know of. That was like so public, so widespread, so wildly reported and so violent. And the first thoughts, like obviously when this happened, it was a Monday morning, and everyone was shocked. So like I've spoken to many people, like journalists have written about this. There were many pieces by like different journalists who knew him and also didn't know him, but like how it felt to them. And everyone said like they were afraid, like after, so like the first thing, like after they got the news, it was like via push notification, and it was like they didn't believe. So that was also my first like experience. Like I got the news, I knew Jan. I mean, we weren't like best friends or anything. Like we met a few times, and like you know him as other journalists in Slovakia, and so I didn't believe the information. So that was, and then I actually found out that like many more people, also my colleagues, felt the same way. They got the news and they just like did not believe it. They just, oh, this is a stupid mistake. And then how you like think about it more and more, then you are trying to find out, and the more you find out about what happened and what's happening around it, you start being like afraid. So like many people, like many journalists mainly, but also some people, they have said like on Monday, like they were like physically afraid, like not the like the this overwhelming feeling of like being afraid, like what bad actually can happen to you doing your job, which was until then, I mean, unthinkable. It was like so much unthinkable that Jan himself gave half a year ago an interview where he said like he's not afraid, and that like we're living in an age where like he's not afraid that he will get like even not beaten or harassed on the street or something like that. So it left an like extraordinary mark on everyone, I would say, and that's the bad things. But there are like also fortunately good things happened, and like one of those was that all the like media has stuck together. Now there is a cross newsroom investigative journalism team of people like investigative journalists who are working on like Jan's stories, not just the ones he did not publish, because if you're an investigative journalist, you have like many leads and you just like decide, so okay, now I will focus on this. So you have I would say a backlog of like cases you want to get to, and because because it's a long process, you're like thinking and investigating stuff, and you're not only working on one thing, but also on the some of the stories he worked on before, because Jan was a very savvy journalist. He has like. He really loved his work, and he has like been like famous for not giving up and like not being afraid.
Axel Springer CEO Matthias Döpfner had a very important message, and I think he was on all the media in Germany because like he's the CEO of Axel Springer, and it was one of our journalists. But I saw him like actually talking to the CEO of Snapchat, but it was like shortly after the killing of the two young Slovaks, and he had to share his thoughts that on the one hand, we saw for 1 year when Deniz Yücel was sitting in prison in Turkey what or how dangerous it is for journalists out there still. And just days before Jan was killed, Deniz was released from prison in Turkey, and suddenly it struck us like thunder when Jan and Martina were killed. And he said, like, we will never forget them, and we can't forget them because we want to, like, strongly say we are journalists and what we do is really important. And if we now take a step back, it would be the wrong sign. So he said, and it's almost quotable, I think, he said, we will never stop doing our job, no matter what. So he wanted to like strongly address this probably to everyone out there who is like fearing doing his or her job right now. And I recently wrote another statement by him where he said that 2017, 74 journalists were killed all around the world just because they were journalists, and that's a really high number. And 2018, which is hardly 3 months old, 6 journalists have been killed, according to Reporters Without Borders. And that's just horrible. And there's still 307 journalists in prison because they are journalists. So although we're living in the Western world, it's like still very rough and hard.
I mean, I must say that the German, also the European and the international support has been very, very great. Yeah. I'm almost sure like everyone can feel it. One of my investigative colleagues, Adam, who is an investigative journalist, and he's worked with Jan on like few stories. They have talked to each other, exchanged ideas and information. He told me like first of all like after what happened on Monday, he was put in police protection for a few days as well.
Oh,
also with his fiance, he said he couldn't sleep for a week because he didn't know like if there is a police outside or like what's happening, and it's like. You don't want to go through that.
No.
And he was in the first days like contacted by like journalists from like worldwide, you know. They wanted to know. So like I'm imagine like there are like a few investigative journalists who are like saying about themselves, not really like themselves, but they're like, you know, who's an investigative journalist in Slovakia, because there are like few of them, and they have like many other journalists from around the world have reached out to them. So for them it was like really, really overwhelming the first couple of days because of this. And sorry, I lost what I wanted to say.
No problem. The thing is that it's not only journalists like being supportive and everything, but especially in Slovakia, the people have been super supportive. I saw photos of Philip. I don't know if Philip Struarik made these, but there was this huge demonstration in Bratislava last week with approximately 50,000 people, and he wrote that it's the biggest demonstration in Slovak history, and it's probably not just because of the killing, but because of everything that is behind. And you mentioned in the beginning that the prime minister stepped down and resigned. So how is the political days are going down in Slovakia right now? What are the people feeling? I mean, you told me you were there. How was the, like, the overall atmosphere?
So the demonstration actually went on for 1 hour or something like above an hour. And like for the whole hour, even before that, like people just kept coming. Like even where, and when the organizers said like the demonstration is over, please go in like in peace, you know, like that they're like ending the demonstration. Like people were still coming in, and like this one lady when she was coming for the protest demonstration, and she has seen us leaving. She asked me like, "So where are we going next?" Which came to me like funny that like it's this you know feeling in people that we have to do something more, and like common people have that in themselves, and it was great because the demonstration only like lasted, as I said, like for an hour. It wasn't too long. The speakers well were like I would say they didn't talk too much, like each, you know, because then it gets like boring and you just kind of be lost in what they're talking about. And there will be another demonstration in roughly 1 hour from when we are recording this, because the prime minister has and the minister of interior, they have stepped down, but they said they will be not dismantling the government to have an early elections, but that they will like restructure the government with other people.
Okay. And just before we come to this, what was the original purpose of the first demonstration? Was it to think of Jan and his girlfriend, or was it really to demonstrate against the government? And
so the first one, first two demonstrations were actually, and this one I guess will be as well, like in the memory of Jan and Martina, like kind of like remembering them, and in the wake of that, like the organizers are first of all saying that they want the murders have like investigated, like, you know, concluded the investigation, like what they want, like people want to know like what happened, like how could this happen, who's responsible. And there are already like some notions that the investigation isn't going well, because like there were like so many policemen at the crime scene, and they did not invite like the right specialists to the crime scene at the time, and so like all these information are coming up, and you just like think about it and think like this is not going to be easy to you know solve this case. Also, like we had recently at SME had an interview with a past investigator who said like this will be investigated like for years.
But do you know if any international police forces or anything, like for example from Italy, are included in the investigations?
The government said and the police said that they are like working together with like international forces, like law enforcement, but the Slovak law actually forbids anyone from like outside of Slovak, like a law enforcement agency, to act within Slovakia. So they can be only at this moment just like, you know, they can be helping out, but they cannot take over. This is one of the other demands by the organizers, that they want for an international team to take over the investigation because they don't trust the police.
Yeah. Wow, that's going to be some rough times, because normally you see that big demonstrations only in non-democratic, non-stable democracies. So I was really impressed by the size of it. especially because we had so many Slovak guests, and talking to you like every week, I wouldn't have thought that something would happen in Slovakia. It's like it's just around the corner, and it's Europe. And I was very shocked about everything, so I can feel how it is like in your country just right now.
Yeah, I mean, the situation is kind of like every day it's like unbelievable and undescribable, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So how do you plan on going back to a normal life? I mean, it's been some weeks now, and we had the podcast break because I guess none of us was like really able to talk or to go on like it's been a normal day. So how is Slovakia coming back to a normal life, and how are you doing?
So we shall see the next week if how the new government will look like, because the ruling parties agreed that they will form a new government with like new people in charge. So there are like rumors, like, or some analysts saying that it's just like a facelift, and the core problem will stay there and won't, like, you know, go away. But like legally this is what they can do. And it was like they are actually doing what was one of the demands of the organizers of the protests. But like actually no one believed that they could step down and let themselves be replaced by someone other. I'm now talking obviously of above all about the prime minister, like Fico.
Yeah.
So which is quite extraordinary for him to step down, because in like our kind of democracies, like which is like a young democracy, that the prime minister would like dismantle the government before like stepping down.
Yeah, and there would be new elections and everything.
And there would be new elections. So we shall see. I'll have like more information to give you when we'll record the next podcast. But at the moment, it's like something happened. People have changed in the government, and we shall see. It's like it's a process.
I would encourage everyone to go to the website allforjan.com, where there is like a book of condolences where you can just put in some words and in remembrance of Jan and Martina. It's a website with now, I don't know, almost 5,000 comments.
Mm.
And I think it's available in, it's available in Slovak, English, and German as well. And we will definitely share all the articles, like in English, German if you want, and Slovak as well. The last article, I just found it on Bild. Probably we can share it from every website we find it. And I would say, like, just stay connected to everything that happens in Slovakia. It's not so far away. If you're listening from, I don't know, the west of Europe, the east of Europe, the south, the north, or the center of Europe, it's definitely one thing that is connected to all Europe and to all of us. And even if you're in the US or in Australia or wherever, please don't forget like Jan and his work and everything around it.
Yeah, and with that being said, I guess we're nearing the end of this podcast. So next podcast, we'll again bring some guests. So yeah, it won't be only me and Mark.
We will go back to
thinking how to end on a positive note, but
keep on doing our work, and everyone is keep on doing his or her work, and that's probably what Yeah, what Jan would have liked to do every of his colleagues, and I'm really looking forward, if I can say it like this, but I'm really looking forward what's coming out of all the demonstrations and the change in Slovakia, and it can be only the best for a transparent, independent journalism. So,
right.
Yeah, and stay tuned for our other episodes. I mean, we had episodes with investigative journalists, so if you're interested in the field of investigative journalism in Europe, just check out our other episodes, subscribe, rate us on iTunes or wherever, and yeah, read all the articles we put you in the description, and come and visit us at the International Journalism Festival in Perugia, which is close to the publication of this episode, only a month away, I think, or 3 weeks, and there we can all discuss everything. So if you are there, just come to us and hook us up, and we talk about everything you want.
And guys, don't forget to always check your facts.
Yeah, very important. All right, Amit.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Bye. Bye, Mark.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.